Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you guys ever noticed how similar a job can be to a prison sentence? Like in prison, you spend a majority of your time in an 8x10 cell. At work, you spend a majority of your time in a 6x8 cubicle. In prison, you get 3 free meals a day. At work, you get a break for 1 meal that you have to pay for. In prison, you get time off for good behavior. At work, for good behavior, you get rewarded more work. In prison, you get your own toilet. At work, you have to share one. In prison, you spend most of your time looking through bars from the inside, wanting to get out. At work, you spend most of your time wanting to get out and go inside bars. You see what I did? Yeah, you see that? Yeah? Maybe it's not that bad, but for most people, it's sure not great. And that's why today we're starting a brand new series called Learning to Love Your Job. In this series, we're going to talk about learning to love your job. Not the most creative title for a series, but man, is it important. It really is, because most of our waking hours are spent at work. In fact, most of us will spend about 90,000 hours of our lives at our jobs. And so how we feel about our job and how it impacts us and how we do our job, and that is critically important stuff. So what I want to do today is I want to give you five letters, and they're not all together. There's a little group of 2 letters and a little group of 3 letters, and I actually believe that these 5 letters can transform your attitude towards your job and really change your life, okay? And that may sound silly to you, but I honestly believe that. In fact, these 5 letters were the driving force and major influence in the life of one of the most successful and significant people our world has ever known. I'll tell you the 5 letters right now, and you're not going to understand what they mean or why they should be important, but I'll just tell you now, and then by the end of our time together, hopefully you'll get it, and you'll see how this could change your life if you just apply these 5 letters to your life, okay? So the 5 letters are JJ and SDG, okay? JJ and SDG, and those letters can revolutionize your life and your attitude towards your job. So how do we learn to love our jobs? It's a really good question because most of us don't. In fact, a couple years ago, MSN came out with a survey, a study that was done, and what they found was that 25 years earlier, 61% of Americans said that they had job satisfaction. I like my job, I like going to work every day, and today it's actually flipped, and less than 31% of people say that they have job satisfaction. And so the numbers have just flipped. But why don't we love our jobs? Why don't you love your job? There's a lot of reasons, probably. But what I want to talk about today are 3 primary challenges that most of us face at our job. And the challenges are our motivation, our stress, and our attitude. Okay, we're going to talk about our motivation, our stress, and our attitude. So the first challenge for a lot of us is our motivation. Check this out. Experts tell us that other than genetics, the number one factor that determines how long you will live is job satisfaction. It has a bigger impact on how long you'll live than your diet, whether you exercise, whether you smoke. People who love their jobs live longer, and people who don't die sooner. And some of you are like, then I have a couple weeks left. I'm on the brink of death. I just didn't know. Because we're not satisfied with our jobs. You know, we're not excited to go to work tomorrow. You know, for most people, the attitude is that work is a necessary evil, right? And the sooner I can come home each day, and the sooner I can retire someday, the better. So the first challenge is our motivation. So how do we change our motivation? Well, here's one way. You change your boss. Some of you are like, yes, now we're talking. Let's kill my boss, and then I will totally have new... Yes. We're not going to kill anybody, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. The answer to a lack of motivation, believe it or not, I honestly feel is believed in or found in the Bible. So we're going to look at this passage in a book called Colossians. Colossians is called Colossians because it was written to people who lived in a city called Colossae, and those people were called Colossians. And so we're going to put the verse on the screen for you, and if you don't have a Bible with you, no problem. If you don't own one, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar after the service. They're free. So Colossians 3, we're going to look at these three verses a couple times, starting in verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Check this. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Okay? So, do you get that? Because this is huge. This will give you a whole new motivation to go to work every day and help you to love your job. Because this says that if you are a follower of Jesus, and let me just pause and say, I recognize that probably some of you are not, but one of my favorite things about our church is we get people, just all kinds of people, from all kinds of backgrounds with all different points along the kind of belief and spiritual spectrum, and that's a great thing. And maybe you're here today just kind of checking out this whole Jesus thing, and if so, yay, that's awesome. I'm glad you're here. It's a safe place. And one thing that may surprise you as you kind of examine this Christianity deal is that it's not just about like being a good person and going to heaven someday. But what you'll discover as you read the Bible and as you become kind of more familiar with it is that it involves everything in your life. That God talks in the Bible about every aspect of our lives, including our jobs. And so, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have changed your boss. Whether you realize it or not, you have changed your boss. You may have a human boss that you do not enjoy working for. Maybe they're mean, demanding, apathetic, and it can be really hard to be motivated to work for someone like that, right? But the cool thing is this, when you say yes to following Jesus, the idea is not just that like, okay, it's someone I believe in, you know, I kind of have this faith now in this God and someday I'll go to heaven. No, the idea is when I say yes to Jesus, everything in my life is now for God. Everything in my life is now for God. And so I go to work not trying to please my human boss, but trying to please God. And God sees your work. His eye is always on you, right? He's smiling down on you, and he will reward you for your work. And so maybe you have a paycheck that is not that impressive. Maybe your bonuses aren't anything to, you know, get excited. Maybe you don't get any bonuses. Maybe you haven't gotten a raise in a long time. But the cool thing is, you're going to get a reward from God because really you're working for him. So when you feel unnoticed, remember that God is with you and you're working for him, not your human boss. And that transformation that starts to happen when you start following Jesus and start realizing, man, this isn't just about someday, this is about today, and everything I do, I want to do for God, man, that will radically change your life. It really will. In fact, we've seen a bunch of people in these 4 years of Verve who have come to faith and kind of said, and it was surprised, man, I put my faith in God because I realized that God loves me and Jesus came for me. I didn't realize that it was going to change like everything. Like it improved my marriage, it improved my job, everything. And I thought it might be cool for you to hear just a bit of someone's story who's experienced this transformation at work. So if you were here last week, I talked about this guy named Gary who came here very cynical, no faith really, no positive experience with church, and kind of made a love connection with God here. And one of the things that changed was his motivation for work. And so check this out.
Hi, my name is Gary. I've been in Las Vegas now 12 years, and I've worked in the casino industry for about 11. I've been a dealer, a floor supervisor, and a pit manager. And before finding Jesus, I hated my jobs. My jobs were depressing, and it's an industry where I was involved with making people unhappy and making their lives miserable by watching them gamble their money away, their food away, their bills away, and it's a very tough industry to work in. It's very depressing, and it was just a paycheck and a way for me to make my means. However, since finding Jesus and coming to God, my job now, while I'm in the same industry, is to show people the better lights of what they're doing, and to be more of a person who gives them some peace while they're doing what they're doing, And people that I work with now are more responsive to me. And I try to lead through the things that I've been taught by following Jesus over the last year. He surrounded himself with sinners, and I've chosen to maintain my job and do the same.
So when you start following Jesus, it transforms your motivation for work. Doesn't it just make sense? I mean, you think about it. It's like what we tend to do typically is we kind of ride up and down with the circumstances of our day, right? But when you start having this bigger perspective, you realize, man, I'm not living for like this. I'm living for something much bigger, right? I'm trying to please God. I'm trying to show Jesus to the people at work. And so, man, the circumstances of my day are very minor in comparison to the reason that I am here, which is much bigger. And it transforms your motivation. Now, here's the deal. It's possible that you may say yes to Jesus, start following him. Your motivation is transformed from work, but you still realize that something is still wrong. Something's still not quite right. And what that may be is that you're in the wrong job. You may be in a job that just is not the right fit for who God uniquely made you to be. It doesn't fit well with your personality or your strengths or your passions or your character. And so it just, even though you have this new attitude and it is changing things, there's still a problem because it's just not the right fit. And so what you may need to do is muster up a little bit of courage and start looking to change your career. Looking for a new opportunity. Or you may need to get a whole lot of faith up and maybe go back to school and start a whole new career path. That's what my wife is doing right now. After 20 years being done with college, she's gone back to get her master's degree and start a whole new career. Maybe that's what you need to do to find a job that fits you. But until then, whether it's the right job or the wrong job, man, you can love your job. You can have a whole new motivation for work every day when you realize that your real boss is a God who loves you and is smiling on you and will reward you for the work that you do. Three challenges we all face at work. One is our motivation, and the second is stress, because stress can really happen at work, right? One time I was at an airport and I had to rent a car. I got in line at the car rental place and I'm standing behind this lady. She goes up to the counter and I'm like right there so I can hear everything that goes on. She walks up to the counter and she says, "Hey, my name is," and the lady starts punching in her name. And this lady, before the employee can really get going, she says, what kind of car am I getting?" And the lady says, "Well, if you could just wait one second," she says, "Well, what kind of car?" And she says, "Well, it looks like you reserved a midsize." And she starts telling her that we have a Ford Fusion. And the lady says, No. What color is the car going to be?" And so the employee says, "Well, actually, I'm not sure." And the lady's like, "What color is the car going to be?" And the employee says, "Well, I'm not sure. It just depends." And she goes, "What color is the car going to be? Because it can't be yellow." And so I'm just like, "Listen, this is really happening." And so the employee's like, "Well, I don't think." And the lady's like, "No, you can't not think. Is it yellow? The car can't be yellow." And so this lady, the employee says, "Well, actually, I don't think." She says, "No, not think. Is the car going to be yellow? Because I am going to a funeral. And if I roll up to the funeral in a yellow car, my family will flip." And the lady's like, "Okay, well, listen, I don't think we have a yellow car. I don't think in our entire fleet of cars that there's a yellow car." And this lady says, Is there any chance I'm going to get a yellow car?" And the employee's like, "I really don't think so. We don't have a yellow car. You can't get a yellow car." She's like, "You can't think. Is it going to be a yellow car?" And the lady's like, "No, it won't be a yellow car." Like, you're like yelling at this point. And so finally, the lady gets her key and she walks away. And I walk up and the lady says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "I was hoping for something in yellow." That employee was stressed out. And work can be a real stress, right? For all of us. I mean, stress happens in our jobs when we have more to do than time to do it in, right? Or we have more to do than our training and our skills allow us to accomplish effectively. Or when we face a quota every day that, you know, or maybe monthly that we're not sure we're going to meet. Or when we're worrying about the future. Right, like what's going to happen, and am I going to be able to do this, and am I going to survive through the next round of layoffs? See, here's what stress is. Let's define it, okay? Stress is spending time anxiously thinking about things that we don't have the power to do anything about. That's what stress is. Stress is getting worried about something, thinking anxiously about something that we don't have the power to do anything about. So what's the solution for stress? It's actually in that same passage. Let's look at it again. Starting in verse 23 again, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Check this. "Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So here's the deal. Stress comes from worrying about things that we have no control over, all right? What stress is this. Stress is assuming responsibility for something God never intended for me to have responsibility for because it's God's responsibility. That's what stress is. So there's another passage in the Bible in a book called Matthew, and we see Jesus teaching. He's teaching this big crowd, and he says to all of them, "Do not worry." Do not worry, which we hear, and it's like, yeah, that'd be nice. Great idea, Jesus. No one wants to worry, but how do you not worry? He tells us how. The Bible's really practical. He says this. He says, "Because your heavenly Father knows." Your heavenly Father knows. The solution for stress is you take care of your responsibilities, do what you can do, and then you leave the rest to God. Because the rest, the things that you have no control over, that's God's responsibility, not yours. So in this passage in Colossians, it says you will receive an inheritance. Who receives an inheritance? Sons and daughters do, right? Like kids of a parent do, right? And so the idea here is this. When you say yes to Jesus, when you put your faith in him, decide I'm going to follow Jesus, you become a child of God, right? Because you've decided, the offer's always been there, but you've said yes to it now. And that day, you now have a father, a heavenly father. And so you really don't need to worry anymore because your heavenly father knows. He knows. He's in control, and he can be trusted. And so you don't need to worry. Think about this. You know who doesn't tend to worry, like, ever? Kids. They don't worry much. Like, my kids have never worried about whether we're going to have food on the table for dinner tonight or whether, you know, I'm going to be able to pay the mortgage this month, right? My kids don't come to me and say, "Dad, how are the mutual funds doing? Like, Dad, really, what's our, you know, Dad, are you going to be able to pay the mortgage? Dad, this month, are we going to be able?" They've never asked. Why? It's not their responsibility, right? They know that's the Father's responsibility, and our Father knows, and he can be trusted, right? So they don't worry about things that's not their responsibility. And we can do the same. We, as adults, can live kind of a childlike life, in a sense, because we have a father, because we have a heavenly father, and he knows. So how does that reduce stress? Now, let's look at another time Jesus was teaching. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Put it on the screen. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So here's the idea. You're going through your workday. You start to feel your neck muscles starting to tighten. Your stomach starts to feel like it's tied in knots. You feel overwhelmed and overloaded. You feel overburdened beyond what you yourself can handle. And so here's what you do. You take a moment, and you ask Jesus, who you now realize is your new boss, okay, that's who you're really working for, to teach you his way of doing life and his way of doing your job. And you realize that Jesus is not an overbearing taskmaster who gives you impossible loads to carry. Now, I realize that some of you might be thinking, "But my boss, the human one, is a overbearing taskmaster who does give me more burdens than I can carry." Okay, fair, I get that. But the reality is, you're human. right? And you can only do what you can humanly do. And what you can do is you can turn to Jesus, who in this passage is offering to walk with you and help you through your day at work. In this passage, Jesus talks about a yoke. A yoke was an instrument typically made of wood, and it would be placed on the back of two animals, like two oxen. And it was placed on them so that they could pull a plow together. And the idea was it made the animals walk together in unison and work together. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And so he's saying, what I want to do is I want to walk with you. I want you and I to develop a rhythm that we walk in together so we can walk in unison and so that I can work with you. And as you do that, what you'll discover is that you are losing stress. So here's one option. Here's something really practical that you could do. You're at work. It's one of those days. Things are getting stressful. And so what you do is you could have that verse we just looked at on a card. To help you on your way out today, we have printed hundreds of cards with that verse on it, okay? So you're going to own a card after today with that verse printed on it, all right? And so you can bring this to work with you. You can put it in your pocket. You can put it on your desk. You can drop it. And so you're having a bad day at work, and so you close your office door, or you leave the office building and you go for a walk around the building, or you go hide in a bathroom stall, okay? And you get this out and you read it, okay? And if a couple minutes later somebody comes looking for you, they're like yelling your name, you can be like, I'm pooping! And if they come back looking a few minutes later, you can be like, I'm still pooping! But really you're reading the Bible, which is a good thing to do. Lie about reading the Bible, okay? Or maybe you really will be pooping, because if you have to, I'm just saying you can kill two birds with one stone. Don't quote that, okay? Don't tweet that one out, all right? But here's the deal. Let's get our minds out of that. Out of the toilet, literally. And so here's what you're going to be actually doing. You're going to be reading this verse, okay? And as you read this verse, you're going to be asking, God, would you give me your perspective on my job? God, would you help me to live my life this way? God, would you help me to recognize that I'm not alone? I'm not like struggling through this workday alone. You have asked me to invite you into my life so that we can live this day together. And if I'm willing, you're going to help me walk with me through this, and you're going to take part of the burden off of me. And so maybe you ask God this. Maybe you say, God, I've got all these things I need to do. I'm human. I can only do one of them. Help me to know, what should I do right now? What is the most important thing I can do right now? And I'm going to expect that prayer would be answered. You just start to have some clarity about, you know what, I need to just focus on this right now. And so you go focus on what you should focus on, and everything else, for now, you leave that to God, because you can't do more than you can do. And he's promised that he'll help take your burden. Okay? And you do that, that will change your workday. It really will. Do it and let me know how it changes your workday. So, three challenges that lead us to hate our job. First, motivation. Second is stress. And third is our attitude. And it can be really easy to get a bad attitude at work, right? Maybe your boss gives you some bad feedback, and you find yourself getting defensive, and all of a sudden you've got this bad attitude going, right? Or maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe your coworkers drive you crazy. Maybe they don't work as hard as you do. Or maybe they're always gossiping, or they're always complaining and negative, and it just frustrates you, right? You get a bad attitude. Or maybe you work at Verve, and you find your boss's rugged good looks intimidating. Maybe. It's just really easy to get a bad attitude at work. So what's the solution for a bad attitude? It's also found here in this passage in Colossians. And so check this out. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And then it continues, as we've seen, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So here's the idea. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. The idea is, it doesn't really matter. We think it does. We would say it does. But it really doesn't matter how we get treated at work. It really doesn't. It really doesn't matter how unfair the boss is. It doesn't matter how lazy and frustrating the other employees are. It doesn't matter how low and demeaning the work is. It doesn't matter how ruggedly good-looking your boss is. It really doesn't matter. Your attitude does not have to be determined by that. Like, all those circumstances are what leads us to our attitude. We don't have to live that way. We have the power to rise above and choose our attitude. We do. And so the attitude that we're told here that we should live with is, whatever you do, whatever the circumstances, whatever's going on, you choose to work at it with all your heart. Okay, that's the attitude. Not with a half-hearted attitude, not with a I'm above this crap attitude, not with a fine, I'll do my job, but you know, I'm over this kind of attitude. No. In fact, I think what this passage is suggesting is that when we choose that kind of attitude, we actually threaten to lose the reward that God would give us if we would just work with all our hearts. We can actually lose the reward. But when we choose this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart kind of attitude, God sees that, God smiles on that, and God will reward that. And when we choose that attitude, we're choosing to be like Jesus. When we choose whatever you do, we're choosing to be like Jesus. I mean, think about Jesus' life here on earth. So Jesus had always existed for all eternity back as the object of the world's praise and worship, okay? Then he chooses to come down to be born as a man. He puts skin on, and eventually he gets a job as a carpenter. And so here's Jesus all day swinging a hammer, right? Which leads me to wonder, what did Jesus say when he hit his thumb with a hammer? Did he say, oh, me? Maybe. But was that job, was this job demeaning for God? And then one day, Jesus kind of switches careers, no longer a carpenter. He announces to everyone, I'm actually God in human flesh. I am the Savior of the world. And he goes around for several years teaching people, loving people, helping people, healing people. And in response, what he receives is rejection, attacks, arrest, physical torture, and death. Yet through it all, what he did was he chose to have the attitude of a humble servant. I never acted like this is beneath me or you know, how dare you or just look at my circumstance. Never. He lived every day with joy. And when you choose to follow Jesus, your goal becomes, man, I just want to be like Jesus. I've given my life to him. I just want to become more and more like him. And so when we choose the attitude of whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, I mean, we're choosing to be like Jesus. And then something really cool happens, because what that means is the people at your workplace, as they see this transformation in your attitude, what they're really seeing is they're seeing Jesus kind of shine through your life. And that's exactly what should be happening at work. The Bible says that we get to go and represent him to people, to everyone we come in contact with. And so now they're getting to see Jesus through me at my job. And not only that, Not only am I becoming more like Jesus, and not only am I going to get rewarded, not only are these other, but check this out. What's going to happen is it will start to transform other people's attitudes at work. I promise you that. You change your attitude, and you're going to see other people's attitudes starting to change. And then what's going to happen is everyone's going to start becoming more successful. And then that's going to lead to you becoming more successful. It will. And it's all going to be because you just change your attitude. One of the greatest examples of this happening was in a San Francisco school several years ago. One day, the principal called in three teachers, and he informed them that they were selected to be a part of this special experiment they were doing because they were the finest teachers in the entire school district. Teachers were kind of like, huh, who knew? Oh, okay. And what they were told was, we have selected the 90 students with the highest IQs, and we have decided to put them in your care. You will be their teachers. We want to see what can you do with these high IQ students. Awesome. And so they get them in their classes, and these students are informed, hey, you're high IQ. And what happens is, over the next school year, they made extraordinary academic progress. I mean, just unbelievable progress. At the end of the school year, the principal calls the three teachers back in and says, hey, here's what the experiment was. Those 90 students were not high IQ students. They were just run-of-the-mill average students. And you are not the three finest teachers in the school district. You were chosen because we picked your names out of a hat. And see, the incredible progress that they made wasn't because of high IQ or teacher skill. It was just because of a change in attitude. That's all it was. When those teachers had the attitude that they were special, and those students had the attitude that they were special, man, it changed everything. But the only thing that had actually changed was your attitude. That's it. And you can change your attitude. You can choose your attitude. You can choose, I'm going to live my life with this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart kind of attitude. And if you do that, everything's going to change. It will change everything. And you can choose your attitude, even if you don't like the company you work for or the boss you work for, because you have a new boss. Because your human boss is not the boss. You are choosing to work for God. And you're not trying to work to make the company look good. You're trying to make him look good. And that brings us back to those five letters, JJ and SDG, which, by the way, that's the other side of the card you're going to receive today. It's got those letters. It's a little reminder for you. So I told you, I believe that these five letters, if you apply them, will change your attitude towards your job and could radically change your entire life. And I told you that they directed and kind of empowered one of the most successful and significant people our world has ever seen. And that person was Johann Sebastian Bach. Johann Sebastian Bach. He was one of the most famous and accomplished composers. I wouldn't say one of them. We're talking right top couple that the world's ever known. Even if you're not into classical music, which you're probably not if you come to Verve, I'm guessing, you've still heard his songs. Songs like Ave Maria and songs like Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, which is one of the songs that brides often come into at a wedding. You've heard his songs. So check this out. Before Bach started to compose a song, every single time he scored a sheet of music, before he began, he would write the letters JJ on the top of the paper. Every composition we have from Bach, the letters JJ are at the top. JJ stand for Jesus Yehu. Jesus Yehu. And that's a Latin prayer. And what it means is, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And then at the completion of every song, every composition he ever did, he wrote at the bottom of that score of music, he wrote SDG, which stands for the Latin phrase, Soli Deo Gloria, which means to the glory of God alone. To the glory of God. Now, his job was writing songs. He wasn't a pastor, a missionary, a worship leader. He wrote songs. He had a job, right? But every song he wrote, he started by asking Jesus for help. And every song he completed, he dedicated to God's glory. He wanted God to be the one who looked good because of the song, not him. And it worked pretty well for Bach, right? I mean, dude lived 300 years ago, and here we are talking about him today. And 300 years from now, people will still be enjoying his work. So, what if you started every workday with a JJ? What if every workday you started by just a quick prayer of Jesus, help me. Help me. I know me, and I will be tempted to lack motivation today, to be stressed out today, to have a bad attitude today, but I don't want to live like that. I choose not to live like that. So Jesus, would you help me, please? And what if you ended every day with an SDG? G. Just a prayer of, God, I want you to look good through my life and through my work. God, it is so easy not to care. And it's so easy to try to make myself look good so I can get a raise, I can get a promotion. But God, I recognize that you are the star of the story, not me. And so God, I want you to look good through my life and through my work. I hope I did that today, God. And when I go back to work tomorrow, would you help me to do an even better job tomorrow? And you start going into work with a JJ start and an SDG end, it is going to change your job. You will get to a place where you will start to love your job. I really think you will. Now, there are some other issues that you're still going to wrestle with, right? Like, what about this issue? Even if I love my job, like, love it, still, I've got this problem where I am so busy and overburdened at work, even if I love it, or even if I can grow to love it, and I've got this entire life to live, how do I do both? How do I balance work and life and do both well? That is a good question, and that's what we're going to talk about next week. But for now, let's pray. God, I offer you a JJ prayer. God, Jesus, would you help us? And no one wants to hate their job. No one wants to dread going to work. We spend so much time there. We would love to get to a place where we love our jobs. And so, Jesus, would you help us? Would you help us to get into this rhythm of starting our day by asking for your help and then living our day yoked with you? God, probably some of us are not even in a relationship with you, and that just seems a little beyond where we're at right now, but God, would you help us maybe to get there? And for those of us who have said yes to you, God, would you help us to realize and live out that this is not a Sunday morning, someday in heaven kind of thing. This is an everyday thing, and you are inviting yourself into our lives if we just say yes, that you will live with us and take our burden and help us to develop a rhythm that we can really live with. Jesus, help us. And God, I also offer up an SDG. God, would you help us to do our jobs and live our lives for your glory? Help us to move beyond not caring. And help us to move beyond a place where it's all about me and I am the center of my universe. God, bring us to a bigger place. Give us something bigger to live for. Something bigger that takes us beyond the circumstances of our days and our success and failures. God, help us to live for your glory. Because you love us so much. You've done so much for us. You deserve that. God, would you help us to love our jobs? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.